If you'll take your Bibles, please, this morning and turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy and chapter 16, please. And while you're turning to Deuteronomy chapter 16, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we ask your blessing now upon the preaching and teaching of your word. Pray that you'd speak to our hearts that way, in that way that only you can through the working of your Holy Spirit. And I pray that when we leave this place today, we'll leave even more thankful for our blessings than when we walked in. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me begin this morning with a story about a man named Joe. One day, Joe was hunting in the woods. It had been a slow day, and he had yet to shoot any game, when suddenly, he heard a noise behind him. And he whirled around, and he saw a ferocious grizzly bear only 20 yards away. So he quickly raised his rifle to his shoulder, took aim, and pulled the trigger, and all he heard was click. The rifle didn't fire. He tried it again and again. All he heard was click, 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 but nothing happened. The gun was malfunctioning. Well, by this time, the grizzly bear was charging towards him. So in desperation, he threw down his gun and he ran. He ran faster and faster and faster with the bear chasing him. And the faster Joe ran, the more the grizzly bear gained on him. And finally, he came to the edge of a cliff, and there was nowhere to go. So he dropped to his knees, and he began to pray. Oh, Lord, I pray that this bear is a Christian. And Joe looked up, and he was surprised to see the bear kneeling just a few feet away, praying. And he heard the bear say, "Dear Lord, thank you for the food that I'm about to receive. Bless it to the nourishment of my body." Well, folks, let me tell you, the holiday season is upon us, and it starts this week with Thanksgiving. Now, Thanksgiving is a different holiday from all the other holidays we celebrate. It doesn't commemorate a battle or anyone's birthday. It's simply a day set aside to express our thanks to God. George Washington, in 1789, was the first president to publicly proclaim a Thanksgiving Day. He said this, he said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor." And he recommended and assigned Thursday, the 26th day of November, 1789, to be a day of Thanksgiving. But that, of course, wasn't the first Thanksgiving proclamation in America. The first Thanksgiving proclamation was in 1621. It was a day set aside to commemorate the harvest that had been reaped by the Plymouth colony after a very harsh winter. In that year, Governor William Bradford proclaimed a day of Thanksgiving, and the colonists celebrated it as a traditional English harvest feast to which they invited the local Wampanoag Indians. So that was the first Thanksgiving proclamation in America. But as I said, Washington was the first president to proclaim a national day of Thanksgiving, although he did not make it an annual day of Thanksgiving. It was just declared for that one year. But by the mid-1800s, many states observed a regular Thanksgiving holiday. And a very famous poet and editor, Sarah J. Hale, had begun lobbying for a national Thanksgiving holiday to be celebrated yearly. However, the next president to actually proclaim a national day of Thanksgiving was Abraham Lincoln. During the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln, looking for ways to unite the nation, discussed the subject with Sarah Hale. And in 1863, he gave his proclamation declaring the last Thursday in November a day of Thanksgiving. Now, we like to think of a day of Thanksgiving as a uniquely American tradition, but it's not. It's not. Because many years before our country was founded, in the deserts of the Middle East, God introduced days of Thanksgiving to the children of Israel. God called them feasts. And these feasts were set aside for the purpose of acknowledging God and giving thanks for what he had done for his people. And in our scripture this morning that we'll be reading here in Deuteronomy 16, God gives instructions to the children of Israel on how they are to celebrate these days of thanksgiving. And in many ways, these principles apply to us as well. So if you've got your Bible open to Deuteronomy 16, we're going to be reading verses 9 through 12. It says, 7 weeks shalt thou number unto thee. Begin to number the 7 weeks from such time as thou beginnest to put the sickle to the corn. And thou shalt keep the feast of weeks unto the Lord thy God with the tribute of a freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God, according to the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou and thy son and thy daughter, and thy manservant and thy maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow that are among you, in the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do these statutes. Now notice that this time of year was a time of celebration for the Jewish people. The crops had been harvested and stored up, and it was time to give thanks to the Lord. It was a time of rejoicing. We read that in verse 11, and thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God. See, God basically says to them, you have worked hard, you have followed me, and I have blessed you. Now it's time to celebrate. And then God goes on to tell them just how they are to celebrate or observe this time of Thanksgiving. And the principles outlined here apply to us as much as they applied to the Israelites. So the first thing that God tells us to do as part of our thanksgiving is to worship, In verse 11 again, it says, thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God. But notice where at the end of the verse, right? In the place which the Lord thy God hath chosen to place his name there. That is, they were to worship at the designated place of worship that he will choose for his name to be honored. And the designated place for the children of Israel to worship at that time was at the tabernacle. They would offer their sacrifices there to the priest. They would bring their offerings to the priest to be sacrificed to God. And they would also bring along grain offerings with them from the harvest, because this was their mode of worship. Now, in our Thanksgiving celebration, we don't bring any burnt offerings to the priest to be sacrificed, and we don't bring any baskets of grain to the church, right? We offer a different type of sacrifice and worship. The sacrifice and worship that we offer is described in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, where it says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. And that's the reason that we are gathered here this morning. At least I hope that's the reason you're gathered here. And if you're watching us by way of the internet, I hope that's the reason that you tuned in this morning. To worship God and thank Him for what He has done for you. This is truly what Thanksgiving is for. Let me again remind you what George Washington said in his proclamation. He said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor." Now, we gather here this morning because this is our usual time of worship. And because this is the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we call this our Thanksgiving service. And it's wonderful to be able to gather with God's people in God's house to offer praise and worship and thanksgiving to our Lord. But how about when Thursday rolls around? Sadly, this Thursday, a day set aside for Thanksgiving, there will be many, many, many people in our nation who will never even stop to consider why our nation is so blessed and why we individually are so blessed by God. Many have their worship on Thanksgiving turned to sports and recreation, maybe eating, or getting ready for the big Black Friday shopping. But I challenge you this Thanksgiving. On Thursday, the day set aside for our celebration of thanks, I challenge you to spend some time with God that day. And I know that we all get busy and all kinds of things are going on, but don't be like Martha, the sister of Lazarus, was. You know, when there was an opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus and worship, she missed it. She missed it. Let's look at that for a moment. Keep your finger here in Deuteronomy 16, because we're coming right back. But look at that story in Luke 10 for a moment. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Luke 10, 38 says, "Now it came to pass as they went, that he," that is Jesus, "entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Now, does that sound familiar? We get so busy in the meals and all the hubbub that goes on at Thanksgiving that we forget that we need to worship the one who is the provider, the one who is worthy of our thanks. In our Thanksgiving celebration, we are to worship God. Let's not neglect to worship and thanks and give thanks on Thanksgiving to the God who provides for all of our needs. And so God's directions to the Israelites have an application to us. In our Thanksgiving celebration, we are to worship God. Now, next, back in Deuteronomy chapter 16, we see this. Verse 11 tells us that not only are we to celebrate with worship, but we are to celebrate with family. The second part of verse 11, notice it, back in Deuteronomy 16, it says, "Thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God, thou," notice, "and thy son and thy daughter." Thanksgiving is a time of celebration with family. God said to gather your family together and celebrate what I've done for you. Enjoy each other. Share with each other. Family was very important to the Jewish people. Family held their society together. And I'm convinced that the deterioration of our society today can be linked to the deterioration of the family. And I know that this is a very strange Thanksgiving this year. And we're not able, it's going to be cut way back, scaled back. We're not able to have all the family over that we normally have for Thanksgiving. They just can't gather as a group. But I'm telling you this, gather with the ones that you can, and then get in touch with the ones that you can't. If you, for instance, if you have the internet, or you have are able to do Skype, or what's the other one? FaceTime, that's what it is. If you can do that, do it. I know that's what we're doing with my dad. We were supposed to be leaving tomorrow morning to drive to Pennsylvania to pick him up and bring him up here for a week for Thanksgiving. But with all the craziness that's going on, that's been canceled. But you know what we're going to do? On Thanksgiving, we're going to Skype with Papa, and we're going to make him part of our Thanksgiving celebration anyway. And if you don't have access to a Skype FaceTime? If you don't have access to something like that, you notice I look at my kids every time I talk about computers, right? And if you don't have that, well, you do have a telephone. Call them. Talk to them. Still make them part of your Thanksgiving celebration, because Thanksgiving has to do with family. God thinks that family is important, so much so that he commanded you to spend time with them. You know, many of us take our family for granted. But God says, take time to spend with your family. Take this time to get closer. Be thankful that you can see and hug the ones that will be close to you that day. And be thankful that you can still virtually hug the other ones that you won't physically see, but you can talk to or see in other ways. Because really, as I said, we tend to take our family for granted. I think of a story I read about a 12-year-old boy named David. You may have read this story. I think they might have even made a movie about it. This was a boy who was born without an immune system. And until he underwent a bone marrow transplant in order to correct the deficiency, he spent his entire life in like almost a plastic bubble in order to prevent exposure to common germs or bacteria or viruses that could kill them. He lived until he was around 12 years old, never knowing really human contact. Well, when he was asked what he'd like to do when he was released from his protective bubble, if that bone marrow transplant worked, this is what he said. When he was asked what he'd like to do, he said, I want to walk barefoot on the grass and touch my mother's hand. I read that and I thought, we sure do take a lot of things for granted. And so Thanksgiving should be a time of worship. Thanksgiving should be a time of family. God says, celebrate with your family, enjoy each other this Thanksgiving season. Now, not only are we to celebrate Thanksgiving through worship and time with family, we're to spend time with the community. Notice the next part of verse 11, after it says, to rejoice before the Lord thy God with thy son and thy daughter, says, and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite that is within thy gate and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are among you. And so what we learn is not only are we to celebrate with family, but we're to celebrate with our fellow man. And I know that we can't invite all of our friends over for Thanksgiving, especially this year with this COVID pandemic thing. But we can still talk to people and tell them the reason that we are thankful. And this is a great week to be doing that. And I mean, do it even if you do have to wear a mask to be able to talk to them and tell them, we can still tell people why we are thankful. Let people know what God has done for you. This is a wonderful time to share with others why we are thankful. You see, with all the economic woes and the COVID scare and the rioting and the violence and all the division in our country, people are looking for a good word. They're seeking for some good news. And we have the best news in the entire world to share with them. And we need to do it. People are looking for hope. But unfortunately, they're looking in the wrong places. They need the hope that only a personal relationship with Jesus Christ will bring. And we need to share the good news about him with others and let them know that he is the reason for our Thanksgiving. We need to have a burden to share the good news with others. Let me share this story with you. Shortly after coming to Christ, Sadhu Sundar, a Hindu convert to Christ, felt called to be a missionary to India. Well, late one afternoon, Sadhu was traveling on foot through the Himalayas with a Buddhist monk. It was bitterly cold, and the wind felt sharp, like needles hitting Sadhu's skin. And it was snowing heavily, and nighttime was approaching. So the monk warned Sadhu that they were in danger of freezing to death if they did not reach the monastery before darkness fell. And just as they were traversing a narrow path above a steep cliff, they heard a cry for help. And down the cliff lay a man who had fallen and was badly hurt. Well, the monk looked at Sadhu and said, "Do not stop. God has brought this man to his fate. He must work it out for himself." Then he quickly added while walking on, "Let us hurry on before we too perish." But Sadhu replied, "I cannot. God has sent me to help others. I cannot abandon him." Well, the monk continued trudging off through the whirling snow while the missionary climbed down the steep embankment to find this man laying there with his leg broken, making it impossible for him to walk. So Sadhu took his blanket, made a sling out of it, and tied the man on his back. Then, bending under his burden, he began the body-torturing climb. And by the time he reached the narrow path again, he was drenched with perspiration. And with determination and sheer willpower, he made his way through the deepening snow and through the darkness, all the while talking to the man on his back about the Lord Jesus Christ. It was all he could do to follow the path, but he persevered. And even though he was faint with fatigue and overheated from exertion, he continued until finally, ahead of him, he saw the lights of the monastery and knew he was safe. And then, for the first time, Sadhu suddenly stumbled and nearly fell. But it was not from darkness. He had stumbled over an object lying in the snow-covered road. And slowly he bent down on one knee and brushed the snow off the object to find the body of that monk frozen to death. Well, years later, a student asked Sadhu, "What is life's most difficult task?" And without hesitation, Sadhu replied, "To have no burden to carry." That's the most difficult task, he said, to have no burden to carry. Well, Sadhu's burden was to share the faith and hope and love of the Lord Jesus Christ to the people of India. And we should have that same burden. God says that in this time of the celebration of Thanksgiving, share your faith with others. Share with them the reason of your hope. Share with them the love of God. Share the truth of the gospel with those that you come into contact with. And so we are commanded to worship as part of our Thanksgiving. We are commanded to spend time with family as part of our Thanksgiving. And we are commanded to spend time or to share with the community as part of our Thanksgiving. And then finally, let me say this. We are commanded to remember what God has done for us. Look at verse 12. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt, and thou shalt observe and do these statutes. God was telling the children of Israel to remember what he had done for them. He says, I delivered you out of the land of Egypt. I have chosen you to be my people. And I have promised you that I will give you a new land, a land that will be perfect for you. Remember what I promised you through your forefathers. Remember what I have done for you. And today, if you're here and you are a Christian, God says to you, remember what I have done for you. I left the glories of heaven and took on human flesh, giving up my rights as God, so that I could come and die on an old rugged cross to take your punishment for sin. I made a way for you to be reconciled to me. I made a way for you to have your sins forgiven. I made a way for you to get into heaven. I made a way for you to be a child of God. And I did it through my own blood on the cross. My shed blood takes care of that once and for all. And as part of your celebration of Thanksgiving, I challenge you this morning, remember what God has done for you. And so I have a question for you this morning. Do you remember telling Jesus that you accept that sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins? Do you remember telling Jesus you believe he rose from the dead so you could have eternal life? Do you remember asking Jesus to come into your heart to be your Savior and Lord? And if not, then you are missing the main point of Thanksgiving. Because the main point of Thanksgiving is remembering what Jesus has done for us. But that remembering is really meaningless if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior and Lord. Without Jesus in your heart, and without having your sins forgiven, and without the assurance that you're on your way to heaven, you really don't have a whole lot to be thankful for. You know, as we draw near to Christmas, we often hear or see the words, Jesus is the reason for the season. But you know what? That is not only true of Christmas. That is also true of Thanksgiving. Jesus is the reason for the season. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning. And we thank you for these principles that you've outlined for the Israelites that really do have an impact on our celebration of Thanksgiving. Lord, help us to take and apply these things. Lord, help us to worship you and thank you and praise you for all your blessings upon us. Because, Lord, you certainly are worthy. You bless us beyond measure. And we thank you and praise you for that. We thank you that we can gather with family, even though the gatherings might be small this year. We've had plenty in the past to thank you for. We'll have more in the future to thank you for. But we thank you for any opportunity, really, that we have to gather with our loved ones, even if it's not specifically on the day of Thanksgiving. Thank you for our families. And then, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with our community. And I pray you'd help us to be faithful in that as well. Help us never to be ashamed of the gospel, but help us to be open with it so that others can come to know you in their heart the way that we know you in our heart. And then, Lord, as we remember what you've done, we thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior so that we can be forgiven and have eternal life and have peace with you and a home in heaven and be one of your children. It's a wonderful gift that you've given us in the sending of your Son. And Lord, I pray that not a single person who has listened to me this morning would either leave the church building or turn off the internet without having opened up their heart and invited Christ in to be their Savior and Lord. Again, Father, we thank you for all your wonderful blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.